Okay, as we're warming up, let's read a few verses right here, waiting for the rest of the saints to come in before the bell rings. Now, here's something out of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter 2:10, he says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, as according to the pattern of Adam, in the law." It is very clear. This is what Chief Elder Peter is saying. It's very clear and evident. Those which are not building with the Spirit, those which are utilizing the carnal things, the natural things, he calls it natural man, using natural things, which has to do with the tokens of the law. It would be tithing, that's a natural thing. Observing a Sabbath day, that's a natural thing. Observing communion, the natural communion, the physical communion of wine and bread. And also physical baptism. All those, anything that springs in the soil and is marked by time, is a natural thing, which the carnal mind uses, for the purpose of establishing a testimony for their own equity, the equity of the moral code, which is a false equity, it's false peace. Of course, we know Jesus also gave us an example of his peace and false peace. That's what Jesus was sharing with his apostles. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. The world only gives that which affirms the aspiration for their peace. So they continue to pursue those things. They want to bond with the wrong thing. So chiefly them that walk after the flesh, as Peter says, and the lust of uncleanness, which has to do, it retains the defiled conscience. False knowledge corrupts the soul. False knowledge corrupts your faith. So he calls it the lust of uncleanness, just the drive of the God code for carnal things. And using you're consuming the corruptible things of this world, for the God code to devour. It's a false substance. We talked about some of those things last week or a week before that, concerning the true substance of our hope and the false substance. False substance has to do with those things which are temporal, the perishable things. Everything in this dimension which is consumed by fire. And that's why God is going to conclude the plan of the in the beginning of the 10th week with the new heavens and new earth. And this is what Chief Elder Peter is bringing out. That's concerning the things which are established right now will be consumed by fire. So chiefly them that walk after the flesh and lust of uncleanness and despise government. So those which are carnal-minded, using their earthly testimony, the testimony of the curse, testimony of corruption, will despise government, which has to do with the anointing which is from above. The divine tethering. As you see Jesus reclining there, and the ministering spirits are making contact with him. That's a tethering. The tethering of the throne, the ministering spirits. Now, the tethering of the throne and the ministering spirits have various manifestations. Of water and even fire, and electricity. Now we see the same thing, in the courts of heaven. In the book of Revelation, we see the angels of vapor, angels of cloud, or angels of water, angels of fire, and also angels of lightning, and thunderclap. And we see the manifestation of these spirits, in the throne of God, and as it is in heaven, so also it is in earth. They bring the testimony of the throne in the dimension of our habitation in order to make that connection. Without that connection, there's no purity. Without that connection, there's no holiness. Without that connection, there's no salvation. So chiefly them, as Chief Elder Peter is warning us, chiefly them that walk after the flesh. And the lust of uncleanness. I mean, that again has to do with the drive of the God code. And the defiled conscience and despise government. Now, the word presumptuous is used here, which has to do with the pushing of clarity. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth is pushing for that clarity. They think that through the study of the knowledge, will birth the reality, of the throne. It doesn't. It's the anointing that births the reality of the throne, that which is provided for us. We love him because he first loved us. God provided himself as a point of contact for our cleansing and communication. So they're presumptuous. They're pushing for that clarity. Presumptuous are they, and they're self-willed. Their self-willed has to do with their establishing the premises or the boundaries of their own principle. The imagination the aspiration and the principle. Okay, what they have created within the imagination, okay, and those things which they desire to pursue after, they want to establish it as a position of authority. That's the principle. Okay, so they're presumptuous. And they're establishing their own boundaries, or in other words, what they'll tell you is stay in your lane. Okay, they will make they will communicate, okay, any offense and regarding the direction which they want to take and which they feel that you're encroaching upon. Truth will encroach upon the error just as much as the light will encroach upon the darkness. Okay, light is greater than darkness. Okay, so presumptuous are they, they're self-willed. Okay, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. In other words, they're not afraid to vocalize their disapproval of apostles. They're vocalizing their disapproval of apostles, okay, again, to establish their own position. They want to stand fast in their own tradition and call that truth. This is what Peter faced in the first century, and pinning these things by the revelation of Spirit, okay, also foresaw the evidence of that which was present to that which is also going to unfold twofold in the future, 2,000 years in the future. In other words, the Spirit was showing him things to come. Okay, that the Antichrist spirit, as Chief Elder John brings out in his epistle, mentioning the word Antichrist or Antichrists, okay, about six times, okay, is giving the church a warning, okay, that the counterfeit spirit, the counterfeit Jesus, the counterfeit gospel, the counterfeit experiences, okay, are of that of seducing spirits. Okay, but chiefly them that walk after flesh and lust of uncleanness. This is just out of 2 Peter 2:10. They're presumptuous, they're self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. All right, that's out of 2 Peter 2:10. Okay, why don't we read something out of Deuteronomy quickly. All right, in Deuteronomy, this is chapter 29, verse 6. Okay, we see that the wilderness church partook of no communion. And this is what Moses testified to. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Okay, now that's interesting. Okay, here we see the absence of the communion in the wilderness in order to establish, okay, the very opposite of that, okay, at the Last Supper, okay, where Jesus partook of both. What he was saying here, the Spirit was saying this, when you partake of this in my divine presence, you will know at that time, I am the Lord your God. Okay, and of course, when they partook of it at the Last Supper, okay, they were listening to the very voice of the Lord, okay, and sharing and unfolding certain mysteries, okay, as he also pushed away from the table and began to walk out to the Mount of Olives, okay, where Jesus was arrested, okay, in the place of prayer. So in Deuteronomy 29:6, Moses testified of it, okay, in the absence of it, okay, and also in the presence of it. Okay, if you had not eaten bread, nor neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Okay, so we see it, also an example of that, of the second eighth week, okay, that we're not partaking of, okay, the elements of communion, the physical elements of communion, and by not partaking of the physical elements, okay, your eyes are beholding and hearing, okay, that which is the Lord your God, the anointing of the Lord your God. Okay, but those which are physically partaking of it, they are not heeding to the voice of the Lord. They're doing what the Apostle Chief Elder Peter said, okay, not to do, okay, and that is despise government. Okay, in the book of Ephesians, pick up where we left off last week with the form of communication. Okay, our form of communication is with new knowledge. Okay, and we're going to do a little study on this and regarding the very roots of false knowledge. Okay, the introduction of this, and how the Lord depicts these things as concerning thorns and briars. Okay, so here the Lord is already establishing a type and shadow of false knowledge. Okay, when false knowledge rules the earth itself, being corrupt, brings forth thorns and briars. Now, during the millennial reign of Christ, okay, we're going to see a very different earth, okay, wherein righteousness dwells. Okay, and it's going to spring forth, okay, with things that are pleasant and good, not corrupt, nor will it cause harm. But here we can see, okay, and as we study today out of Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start again with verse 1 and reiterate a few items here, okay, of how God again is governing our destiny with these things. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, It asks chapter 5, verse 1 now. Be you followers of God as I allowed the fire of this anointing, okay, concerning to be your hope of glory, as dear children. Now, highlight the word dear children there, because we are those which are born of the covenant. We're born of the Spirit. Okay, even as Sarah supernaturally bore a child. Okay, and we'll be talking more about that here in a moment. Okay, how by the bonding, okay, of the flesh and the Spirit, okay, we can see an offspring come forth, and as a type of shadow of Christ. Okay, that which is of Spirit, and that which is the flesh. And that's what the name of Jesus, okay, bore both those elements, that God came into the form of the flesh. Okay, and the Apostle Paul speaks of these things as a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. Okay, God was manifest in the flesh and justified by the Spirit. Okay, we follow that same pattern. Though we're in the form of weakness, yet we live by the power of God. Okay, though the infirmities of our flesh afflict us because we understand, see, that its containment, okay, is oppressive. Okay, that we only can find peace in the release of this charity. Okay, so as you're releasing charity, you'll find your peace. And this is the peace with Jesus. I'm going to give you, the Spirit will give you this peace. Okay, the peace of the world is trying to find the equity for a false consumption. Okay, the false consumption of carnal things. Okay, as the full soul loathes the honeycomb, as Proverbs brings out. Okay, so the God code, okay, which consumes the things of the flesh, okay, loathes the things which are the sweetness of God's truth. Okay, as long as those of the false religious system are tethered to false knowledge, okay, they're going to loathe, okay, the honeycomb, the sweet things. We can also see the contrast which is given to Chief Elder John, okay, by the angel, which not only gave him the book to consume, but the rod also to measure with. Okay, not only did he give him the book to consume, but the rod to measure. So the Chief Elder John, consumed the book which is sweet in his mouth and made his belly bitter. Okay, and made his belly bitter because that which he was going to measure had to do with the earthly things, the earthly temple. The earthly temple, which is corrupt, okay, and will be dismantled and replaced with that which is the millennial temple. Okay, and so the angel gave him the rod. Okay, the angel stood on the sea and on the earth. His legs and his feet were as fire, and his countenance as a sun, again, as a rainbow. Okay, which shows that the knowledge which he would give would bring enlightenment and peace to those which would heed. Joined to the Spirit, those which are in the flesh, being joined to the Spirit by faith, will have peace. So the things of the Lord is sweetness to them. Well, let's go on here. Be you therefore followers of God. That is, fire this fire of charity. He's governing us by this fire of charity. The anointing. Okay, the anointing was joining us to the throne. Okay, dear children, so I like the word dear children there, being those born of promise. We are born of promise. Okay, as that which is of Sarah, not of Hagar. Now, the Apostle Paul also brings this contrast out in regarding, okay, that which is of the free woman, that which is the bond woman. Bringing contrast, and a contrast also helps us to discern the contrariness and contradiction that exists. Okay, you notice that which is of the flesh, and the promises of the flesh, okay, bore that which is hostile against that which is the Spirit, and those which are born of faith. We can see the same thing today, in contrast between those which are coming in covenant, okay, being covenant believers, okay, which is the true wheat, in contrast to those which are despising the covenant, okay, which are the tare believers, okay, those which are the sand people, okay, the sand people, okay, they're building confidence with earthly things, okay, and or that which gives account to man, okay, we are constructing the kingdom of God by the Spirit, which gives account to God. So he says here, so be you therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. So I like the word love there. Okay, so the dear children, which he's talking about, are those which are born of the light, who speak Christ as Melchizedek. Okay, who speak of Christ as Melchizedek. Okay, we're born of the light. Okay, we're going to see a good example of that, okay, when we read here about the birth of Noah. Now I'm going to read some things here out of the book of Enoch, 1st Enoch. 1st Enoch chapter 106, okay, which has 19 verses. This is the birth of Noah, and Noah being born will also be born with a dimdimah. okay, which is like a soft light and halo that he came into. The anointing was upon him, okay, as a steward of the second week, as we can also see that Jesus, when he was born, okay, as the transition steward of the first eighth week, okay, to birth the church. Okay, the anointing which is upon him also came upon his apostles, as the anointing was upon Moses, came upon the 70. As Moses gathered the elders of Israel together, and the spirit which is upon him, okay, was distributed to the 70, and they all prophesied, so also Jesus, okay, breathed upon his apostles and said the same thing, receive you the Holy Ghost, okay, which they, okay, by that anointing, would carry this new knowledge. A new knowledge was, which is our tethering. Let me read some of these things here to you from 1 Enoch 106, and we'll be going from 1 Enoch, if you have the book of Enoch there. From 1 Enoch, we'll be going to 2 Enoch. Okay, and after some days, I'm reading out of Enoch now, and after some days of this revelation, okay, after some days, my son, which is Enoch speaking, and after some days, my son, Methuselah, took a wife for his son Lamech, and she became pregnant by him and bore him a son. And bearing a son, his body was white as snow and red as a rose. He, the hair of his head was white as wool, and his demdema beautiful. And as for his eyes, when he opened them, the whole house glowed, like the sun, okay, like the sun, the whole house glowed even more exceedingly, okay, as if there was a soft glow about his head, like a halo. Okay, now, not only did his birth marked a new beginning, we see the same thing with Moses. Moses' birth marked a new beginning when they saw that he was a proper child. Moses also was born with a demdema. And when they saw that he was a proper child, the scriptures talk about beautiful child. Okay, but we can see that there's a little more depthness to that other than the visage of a natural birth. Okay, because there's many babies that were born, of course, naturally, okay, which took on the admiration of their parents. Okay, now we're talking about something of a supernatural admiration, okay, which Moses had, as well as Noah had, and which also our Lord Jesus Christ had, okay, when Jesus was born. What's interesting is that not only was a child born with a demdema, the anointing was upon him at birth, okay, in order to perform, okay, the tasks, okay, which would be laid upon him, okay, and also the sign and wonder which followed him, as all children of God bear the sign and wonder. The sign and wonder has to do with new knowledge, and we'll see here in a moment. Now, when he arose from the hands of the midwife, okay, he opened his mouth and spoke to the Lord with righteousness. Noah immediately began, upon his birth, began to disclose, okay, a mystery concerning why was I born with a demdema. Why is my presence necessary at this time? 600 years later, you'll see why. Okay, so he arose from the hands of the midwife. He opened his mouth and he spoke to the Lord with righteousness. And his father Lamech, okay, was afraid of him and fled. He rushed out of the house and he went to the Methuselah's father. In other words, Lamech at this time could not discern the spirit by which Noah was speaking, because this was not a common event. Okay, mostly among the Adamites. Okay, but the children of the watchers all were born, okay, in a manner as this. Okay, all the children of the watchers. And so Lamech looked at this as a threat. Okay, as concerning the birth of the son and the things that she was saying. Okay, well, let's go on. And Lamech said to Methuselah here, and he says, I have begotten a strange son. He is not like an ordinary human, or a common man, Adamite. Okay, he's not like a human being. But he looks like the children of the watchers, the children of the angels of heaven. Okay, this is what he looks like to me. His form is different. He is not like us. His eyes are like the rays of the sun. His face is glorious. It does not seem to me that he is of me, but of the angels. And I fear that a wondrous phenomenon may take place upon the earth in his days. The things that he was sharing with us is that of destruction. Okay, now Lamech said, so I beseech you, Methuselah, I beseech you now, I'm begging you, Methuselah. He's running to the stewardship. Methuselah was a steward at this time. He's begging you in order that you may go to his grandfather, Enoch, okay, our father, and learn from him the truth, for his dwelling is among the angels. That means Enoch's dwelling is among the angels. Then when Methuselah heard these words, as concerning what, words of his son Lamech, he came to us. This was Enoch and the angels now. He came to us. Now remember, I'm reading out of the book of Enoch. This is Enoch's testimony. And he came to us at the ends of the earth, which it could have been at this point Mount Hermon. And Methuselah, now for he, Methuselah, had heard that I, Enoch, was there. And he cried aloud, and I heard his voice, and he came and came to him, and I said to him, Behold, my son, my son Methuselah, here am I. Why have you come here? That is, off the mountain from the Cave of Treasures. Then he answered me, and he said, On account of the great distress, we are upset and confused about what we just saw concerning the mixed son. Hey, we are in great distress. I have come to you on account of a grievous vision. Have I come here? And now, my father Enoch, hear me. Unto my son Lamech, a son, which his name is Noah, he has been born. Okay, one whose image and form are not like unto the characteristics of human beings, and his color is whiter than snow, and redder than a rose. The hair of his head is whiter than white wool, and his eyes are like the rays of the sun. And he opened his eyes, the whole house lightened up. When he rose up in the hands of the midwife, he opened his mouth and he blessed the Lord of heaven. He began prophesying. See, we prophesy by the same anointing. Then his father Lamech became afraid and fled. And he did not believe that he, that is a child, is really of him, but the image of the angels of heaven. And behold, I have come to you in order that you may make me know the real truth. Okay, that is concerning the real truth that his mother was impregnated. Was she impregnated by the Spirit? Okay, then I, Enoch, answered, and I said to him, The Lord will surely make new things upon the earth. We can see that today. And I have already seen this matter in a vision and made it known to you. For in the generation of Jared, my father, they transgressed the word of the Lord. That is the law of heaven. That's the fallen watchers. He's talking about the fallen watchers. They transgressed, the fallen watchers transgressed, which means they went beyond the boundaries God set for them. Okay, as also the book of Jude brings out. And violated women, impregnated them to bear them children. And behold, they, as the watchers, commit sin, transgress the commandment. They have united themselves with women and commit sin together with them. They have married wives among them and begotten children by them. For at this point, they weren't as giants. There should be a great destruction. That's in about 600 years. Upon the earth, and there shall be a deluge, a destroying flood and a destruction for 1 year. And this son who has been born unto you, as Enoch is telling him, okay, which is born of you, shall be left upon the earth and his three sons. Isn't it interesting? Okay, Enoch had access to the libraries of heaven, and he's communicating these things to his son, Methuselah, okay, that Noah's going to have three sons, and he's going to give him his name, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three sons shall be saved when they who were upon the earth are dead. And upon the earth they, the angels there, shall give birth to giants. And we can see that also in chapter 15. They're going to give birth to giants by this time. Okay, not of the spirit, but the flesh. Okay, there shall be a great plague upon the earth, and the earth shall be washed clean from all the corruption. It's going to be purged and begin anew, okay, of all corruption. We can see the earth today, okay, is corrupted. The same thing with COVID-19. Okay, the COVID-19 is the evidence of its corruption. Okay, now make known to your son Lamech that the son, which is Noah, who has been born, is indeed righteous, and call his name Noah. For he shall be the remnant for you, and he and his sons shall be safe from the corruption which shall come upon the earth on account of all the sin and oppression that existed. And it will be fulfilled upon the earth in his days. As we also can see, okay, the times which we're living in, okay, is fulfilling this history of the second consummation, which awaits at the door. Okay, and the sinners are going to open that door. Now, after that, verse 19, after that, that's the flood, there shall occur still greater oppression. That is until now the second consummation. A greater oppression than that which is filled upon the earth the first time. For I do know the mysteries of the holy ones, for he, that is the Lord, has revealed them to me and made me know, for I have read them in the heavenly tablets. We also have access to the heavenly library, okay, and we'll be able to see those which will be born during the millennial reign, okay, for the next 20 generations, okay, for the 1,000 years. Okay, and we'll be reading also the history, which should be unfolding during their lifetime. Okay, not only with our divine presence down here, we're able to speak to those which were born. Okay, and we'll also provide and pronounce names to those which are born. Okay, and the things which should be unfolding. Okay, now we're going to Second Enoch here. We're going to read a little bit about Methuselah, or not Methuselah, but Melchizedek. We can see that Noah, though he was born with a diadema, about 600 years later, he witnessed another marvel of his brother Ner. Okay, he also had asked counsel. What is happening here? Okay, he was born with a diadema. Okay, but here's someone else. Okay, in his lifetime, 600 years later, a child, and this child is going to confirm a new priesthood. Okay, so let's read about that. Okay, and we'll read about that here. We'll start in 2 Enoch. Okay, we're in 2 Enoch. And we're at 71:19. All right, they placed a sopanum on the bed, and they wrapped her around with black garments and shut her in the house, prepared, and they went out and prepared to bury her. And when they had gone out toward the tomb near a sepulchre, a child came out from the dead sopanum. And when the child came out, he sat on the bed at her side. And Noah and Ner came back in, now to take the body for the burial. They came in to bury sopanum, and they saw the child sitting there beside the body of sopanum. The child was and having his clothing on him. Now this is a very strange phenomenon. A child was just born from his wife passed away there. Of course, she was of great age. Okay, the same thing like but Elizabeth was of great age when she bore John the Baptist. And here we can see also that sopanum was a great age, as well as also Sarah was a great age. That this was supernatural. Okay, so Ner, verse 18, Noah and Ner were very terrified at this, because the child was fully developed physically, like a three-year-old. That's supernatural. Okay, and he spoke with his lips. Notice what he's saying. Okay, how the anointing came on him and through him. This holy knowledge, and he blessed the Lord. Okay, and we're going to see that God was giving knowledge back to Adamites, knowledge of truth. He was giving us back that gift. Okay, he's giving back to the church this gift of holy knowledge by the same Spirit. So Ner looked at him closely. Okay, they came in, they observed, they saw him, they began to inspect him, and they saw an interesting mark on him. Okay, it was the mark of a cross. The mark of the badge was on his chest. So Noah and Ner looked at him closely. Behold, the badge of the priesthood was on his chest. So we see the stewardship of the priesthood were joined together again. Okay, Noah's stewardship and also Melchizedek's priesthood, okay, which is going to be carried forth to another Melchizedek. Okay, and it was glorious in appearance. Okay, it was very different in saying this. This is from the Lord, my brother. Enoch spoke of Christ being crucified in a tree, and such as the sign is. Okay, Enoch shared knowledge with them, and regarding that the our deliverer and salvation, the Messiah, okay, upon his coming into the form of flesh, okay, would experience insult and reproach from those which are born of Adam, okay, but yet bore also the testimony of false knowledge. They still carried Satan's false knowledge, the knowledge of corruption, with them. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so Noah and Ner said, behold, God is renewing the priesthood. That's what he's doing now. He's renewing the priesthood through the second eighth week. Behold, God is renewing the priesthood. He will bring a new priesthood different to what we're doing, ours, from blood related to us, just as he pleases. Okay, and Noah and Ner hurried. They washed the child. They dressed him in garments of a priesthood. They gave him the holy bread to eat. That's just interesting. They gave him some bread to eat. Okay, now, of course, you don't do that with an infant that's just birthed. They don't, cut a slice of bread, put butter on it, and say, eat it. Okay, we know that, an infant has to, begins with a very liquid diet before he can anything solid. Here, he's 3 years old, and he's already eating solid food. And he was just born no more than an hour ago. So they gave him holy bread, and he ate it, and they called his name Melchizedek. Okay, and so Noah and Ner lift up the body of sopanum. Okay, and also removed the vestment, divested her of the black garments. They washed her, they clothed her in exceptionally bright garments. Then they built a shrine of honor. Okay, a shrine of honor. This was to mark that Christ would rise from the dead. Okay, so Noah and Ner, and because it came, they buried her publicly. And Noah said to his brother Ner, at this point, I want you to take care of this child here. Look after this child in secret until the time, because people become treacherous. People are naturally suspicious, and when they're naturally suspicious, they begin to get physical. They want to physically injure you. So people become treacherous in all the earth, and they will begin to turn away from God and become totally ignorant. That's of God's covenant. And they will put him to death. He was worried about that they're, through their violence and ignorance, that they will kill the child. And then Noah went to his own place. Okay, and great lawlessness began to become abundant over all the earth. The days of Ner, he was the last priest. Okay, he died in the flood. And this is what also Jude identifies. Okay, and also Chief Elder Peter identifies. Okay. There'll be great lawlessness, which means independent divine structure. They also abhor any stewardship, becoming apostate in their faith. Okay, now we go back to the book of Ephesians here. Okay, so when he says, dear children, okay, the Apostle Paul is reflecting upon all these incidents and these events. Okay, so be you therefore follows God as dear children, those which are born of a didema, because we're born again. Okay, so we're being born again. We're born of the Spirit, or born of the demdema, and our language, okay, is evident of that communication, of that birth. We're born as dear children. And then he says in verse 2 here, walk in love. So I like the word walk in love here. That means we now travel a different path of life. Okay, it's called the prophetic path. This is the path of faith, faith in a covenant. Okay, and our faith, the faith in a covenant will communicate Christ. Okay, as Noah, born of this dendema, praised the Lord, he communicated Christ. Okay, even as Moses, born with a dendema. This was a beautiful child, different, and she nourished him. And Jochebed nourished Noah there for 3 months, then put him in an ark. Okay, again, a type and shadow of death and resurrection. Being found, okay, will be preached, and is being preached today. Okay, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us, giving us new knowledge, which we're communicating. Okay, well, where does corrupt knowledge come from? Well, we'll see here in a moment. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself, point of contact now. Okay, the volume of the book. Jesus is the volume of the book called the Word of God. He's giving us new knowledge to speak. Okay, we're communicating a new language. Okay, a language who isn't born of this world. It isn't born of the flesh. It is not the cry of an infant, okay, of the flesh, but rather, okay, the praises of the infant of the demdema. Okay, so walk in love as Christ also has loved us as being born again and has given himself for us, point of contact. What is his form? What is he giving us for? To offer back to God, right? For us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. And that's what we're doing. Your charity, okay, is an offering and a sacrifice to God. You're providing Christ for him. Okay, we're providing Christ for him with faith. Okay, we're just not plundering the things of God for the aspiration, but what Christ has provided for us, we're offering back to our Father to show the completion of the cycle. When the cycle is completed, there's peace. Okay, when a cycle is completed, there's peace. When the cycle is broken, there's hostility. Okay, now that cycle was broken through the transgression that came in the Garden of Eden. Okay, so walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself, at the volume of the book, called the Word of God, okay, for us as an offering, a new knowledge, a token, tool, and a gift. For us as an offering and sacrifice, according to Melchizedek. This is a prototype. So Jesus is providing himself as a prototype and as a captain of our salvation for things yet to come. Not only in the sharing of our knowledge here, okay, a bloodless sacrifice, okay, but also in the time to come, in the dimensions, okay, of the baptism of light, nay, a divine tethering will be spoken, okay, and a new knowledge will be embraced, okay, which will tether everything which is created through you, by you, and through you, concerning the perpetualness of our Father. We're expanding the house of our Father, enlarging the tent. Right, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, so he's providing himself by these tokens as the tokens of his propitiation to carry this fragrance, the fragrance, okay, in other words, the point of contact, okay, as a hand of sanctification, a sacrifice to us, a sacrifice for us to God, say, from the Father to the Father, from the bosom to the bosom, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Okay, we can see this, that Jesus is providing himself as our hand, hand sanitizer. So Jesus is our sanctification to touch God. Jesus is our hand sanitizer so that we can touch him. Okay, so he is our spiritual hand sanitizer as we wash ourselves. Okay, we wash ourselves to offer sacrifices of charity daily to him. But now those which don't have Jesus as their hand sanitizer, they are considered as unclean. Okay, and so let's look at that here for a moment. Okay, in the book of Leviticus. So make sure you put your marker here. Okay, in the book of Ephesians. It would become back, of course. Okay, and we're going to turn over to, we can see Leviticus chapter 13. So I'm turning over there right now. We'll be reading some things there. Okay, Leviticus chapter 13, 44 and 45. We can see that the person that's a leper here. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish in his bald head or his bald forehead, he as the leprosy appears in the skin of his flesh. It's kind of interesting, the word white and reddish. Okay, we see word white and reddish, the same language which we see in the book of Enoch. Okay, but as a white dindima and a reddish as a rose. Okay, he talked about that as a rose there. Okay, we can see that's the positive. Okay, but now this is a negative. The negative has to do with false knowledge. Okay, false knowledge is the negative dindema, okay, called outer darkness. Okay, absence of the light. Okay, so he is a leprous man, he is unclean. Now the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head. Okay, his plague is in his head. Okay, which has to do with false knowledge. Okay, the roots of false knowledge, what he's been molding with, so therefore the language he speaks is unclean, like a garbage mouth. Okay, he is unclean. He speaks of the corruption of his own soul. He doesn't honor God. He doesn't stand in the honoring of our Father. Okay, that's like the false prophetic. And psychophysy, okay, is only the disclosure of the condition of the defiled conscience. Okay, it's not the cleansing of the soul. So therefore, his leprosy, his plague is in his head. That's what he's speaking. Now, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes, shall be rent, which has to do with a form of repentance, renting of the clothes. And his head bare, which has to do with, he has to cleanse himself of all that false knowledge. And this is what we say to those which want to come in a covenant. If you want to come in a covenant with the Lord, you have to empty your pockets of all the tokens that you picked up in your journey in a false religious system, from church to church and from fellowship to fellowship. Okay, you picked up a nugget here and a nugget there, which you thought was a valuable truth, okay, that you could live by. But in order to come into this new priesthood, you have to put off the street clothes and to put on the new clothes. If you want to put on Christ, you have to first empty your pockets of all that false knowledge. You have to be cleansed first. This is what the Apostle Paul brings out. Now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of God. The washing takes place. As you're going through your cycles of regeneration, the cleansing process continues as you adopt, okay, and adapt to this new knowledge. You're taking on this new knowledge as this is your compass now, your new compass. But the person who does it, of course, is unclean. Okay, the leper in whom the plague is his clothes should be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Now, the people are wearing masks because of the plague of COVID-19. It's like, prophetically speaking, the knowledge that you're speaking is unclean. Therefore, you should have a mask upon your upper lip. And they've been inoculated now with the vaccine. Okay, but that's not the real vaccine. They need to be inoculated, okay, with... Okay, not with the things, the tokens of this world, okay, but that which is designed by God, okay, injected in the heart, not in the arm, but injected in the heart. So they should have a covering on their upper lip, and they shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. As long as he has that false knowledge, He is unclean. And he has to warn people, stay away from me, I'm unclean. That's the false prophetic. That's what they need to do. They need to cover their upper lip, okay, and say, I'm unclean. So all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. That's a defiled conscience. He is unclean with a defiled conscience, and he shall dwell alone. Now, why did he say he shall dwell alone? Because he's broken from the vine. Okay, he has his own independent ministry, and he's unclean, defiled. He shall dwell without the camp. Without the camp shall be his habitation. He's not in the house of the Lord, but he's outside the camp because of a defiled conscience. He is unclean. Now we're going to see this unclean knowledge. Okay, is spoken of here in Genesis chapter 3. So we're going to go into Genesis chapter 3 here. Okay, in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to be observing here when the Lord is going to introduce false knowledge as thorns and thistles and briars. Let's read on here. And the Lord God called to Adam, and he said unto him, where are you? Okay, you notice that when the anointing leaves, people shudder the thought, okay, of the presence of truth. They think truth is intrusive, so they want to run and hide. Now, Adam ran and hid among the leaves of the trees. Okay, the leaves of the trees is also what they use, okay, as concerning the papyri. Okay, the papyrus leaf, okay, is used in order to write the knowledge, the knowledge on. Okay, they wrote knowledge upon the papyri. Okay, this is what Adam hid among. Because of that, the law was his covering, and the law was not cleansing him. He was just covered by the law. The Lord God called to him and says, where are you? And he says, when Adam didn't reply, I heard your voice in the garden. Okay, when the anointing of the stewardship was present, okay, it made me afraid, and I hid. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Okay, and I hid myself. That means in the shadows of darkness among vain things. Okay, people are trying to find their peace with nature. Okay, they're trying to find their peace with nature. They're trying to reinvent themselves, okay, or reinvent the environment. They're trying to cleanse the environment. Okay, they think the environment is because of the pollution. Okay, it's not. The environment is because of sin. The environment of the corruption of this world, which we are experiencing at this time, at the conclusion of the sixth week, before the beginning of the seventh week, where we are witnesses, okay, of this time, okay, in this dimension, okay, which will be also sharing in knowledge, okay, and those which be born during the ninth week, okay, and they're going to be asking us, how was it? Why was God so angry? Why was his wrath expressed in such a manner of destruction? And what we're going to say? We're going to say because of the knowledge of the people of the land, okay, had their roots in corruption. They were the briars and the thorns, okay, in the earth. And the briars and the thorns are not good for consumption. Good, all it does is cut and bruise the flesh. Okay, it bruises the thinking, it defiles the mind. And so therefore he said, I was naked and I hid. And God said, who told you that you were naked? What knowledge did you embrace? Ah, false knowledge here. Okay, the conscience without the light, he immediately identifies its own present state. Sin. Okay, we see that the defiled conscience, okay, stands in its present state of sin, and that's what they communicate. That's the thorns and the briars. So the earth is full of gloominess and darkness. It's bringing forth, okay, the evidence, okay, of the corruption of Adam. Okay, the earth is shaking, okay, and toiling, and trying to cast its elements out from volcanoes and floods and famine and plagues. Okay, is evident of that. Okay, that's a testimony, okay, of this time in a conclusion of the sixth week. So when he said, who told you you're naked? Have you eaten of the tree or the vine, which I told you, I commanded you that you not eat? Okay, in other words, I know you're a God, but you're a God with restrictions right now. I put you within a dominion, okay, in a position of dominion over all things, and also with great restriction in this dimension, that you should not eat. That means as long as you don't eat that false knowledge, which I cursed, you would retain your innocence. But now once you have partaken of it, you're not retaining innocence, You're now expressing the defiled conscience. And we'll see this here in verse 18. So we'll jump from there, verse 12 to verse 18. Because of this false knowledge, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. That means now you have to labor, okay, in the very soil which you've been cursed. That which you were taken from is now cursed. Those thorns and thistles. In other words, wickedness will now rule this earth because of the evil knowledge. That's what God is saying to him. Wickedness will now rule the earth. Okay, but when we come back and establish Jesus' reign 1,000 years, the knowledge of the Lord will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. Okay, that was prophesied and that will happen. Okay, but right now, darkness rules because the heavens are defiled. Satan is in the heavens. He's in the atmosphere. He's called the principalities and powers of the air. He's in the atmosphere. And the sinners are tethered to his throne by false knowledge. So Satan rules the minds of the wicked. Those that want to live by the aspiration. Those that want to oppress by the principle. Those which are want to mold their future with their imagination. Okay, are tethered to the prince of darkness and the principalities and powers of the air. Now, when Satan is cast out, we will rejoice. Rejoice, you heavens, okay, and O earth. Rejoice, you apostles and prophets, because Satan has now been cast out of the first heaven. He's now into the earth. His time, his appointed time, is now short. In 3.5 years, okay, he will be even cast into the abyss, okay, and we will rule on the earth in righteousness. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Okay, in other words, you must consume substance now. The substance. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're filling our soul with the tokens of peace. Okay, but the sinner is filling his stomach, okay, with tokens of death. And because his thinking follows that same pattern. In the sweat of your face you eat your bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Okay, we'll see the same thing here in the book of Isaiah. So I'm going to turn to the book of Isaiah quickly. Isaiah 55. What does the Lord say in Isaiah 55? Well, let's start verse 8. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh boy, look at that one. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Okay, your thoughts are thorns and thistles. Okay, and briars. Okay, but by my anointing, okay, your fruit would be sweet to me. Now, the same thing the Apostle Paul brings out. Paul was building an understanding in the minds of the church in the book of Hebrews, okay, on the same premises. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The prophetic path is not that which is the imagination of man. So my ways are higher than your ways. The path of the record of man is death, but the path of the record of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So my thoughts and your thoughts, as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, it returns not there. The cycle has been broken, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Now, by the anointing, the breach has been filled. The breach has been filled by the anointing. Okay, the anointing, like glue, okay, has brought two individual parts together to be one. That which is the flesh and the spirit were broken because of transgression. But now we're being joined to him again as Jesus taught us. His name itself teaches us that the breach has been filled by his mediation. All right, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. Okay, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. We're still living in the same times of seeing God's will fulfilled. What's prophesied thousands of years ago, we're living now at the threshold of its fulfillment. Okay, the rapture of the church, the opening of the door, the gate of the seventh week. Okay, verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. That's for my gate. The mountain and the hill shall break forth before in the singing. During the millennium, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. They shall clap their hands, which we also see in chapter 32, verse 15. In other words, the supernatural will be common occurrences. Okay, they shall break forth before in the singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Not right now, The earth is shaking and quaking because of the sin of man. Okay, it's collapsing in on itself as the volcanoes are spewing out. Instead of the thorn, there's the word thorn there, God's going to reverse the curse. Instead of the thorn should come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar should come up the myrtle tree. This is what Zechariah the prophet saw too. And this shall be to the Lord for a name. A token of ownership will be in that sign. We will be that token of ownership, okay, in this sign. Because instead of bringing forth the thorn and the briar, okay, we're bringing forth that which is fruitfulness, the truth. Okay, not false knowledge, but truth. And this shall be to the Lord for a name. You can hide the word name there. For an everlasting sign, which we are. Okay, we will be as that seed of a forest. Okay, going out from the Father's bosom into other dimensions, we are a seed in another dimension. And we'll be a new beginning as Noah was a new beginning. That shall not be cut off. Okay, we see the same thing in Hebrews 6. It's Hebrews 6. Tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now, if he shall fall away, I mean, if he shall separate himself or be broken off because of transgression. Transgression has to do with that. They're denying the tokens for the priesthood. Now, you don't deny the tokens of your priesthood, you're breaking yourself from the vine. That's why Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Okay, you're to carry the tradition of this knowledge, the knowledge which I'm giving you. Okay, the true bread and the true wine. Now, if they shall fall away or break themselves, separate themselves from the vine, if they shall fall away to renew them again to repentance, this can be impossible, he says, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, okay, and put them to an open shame. They justify their sin again by listening to Satan. Okay, in other words, the fool turns to his own logic again, or own vomit again. Okay, for the earth which drinks in the rain, now you notice this, he's going back to this history. The history is a prophecy, okay, which we're living in. The earth which drinks in the rain, a contact for increase. The earth which drinks in the rain that comes off upon it and brings forth herbs, okay, it births an offspring. The cycle, the season, the cycle is completed, okay, to begin again. Now we're in the springtime here, okay, in the States, we're going through the cycles of spring. We're in the other parts of the world, we're going through the cycles of winter now, okay, or fall. The earth which drinks in the rain that comes off upon it brings forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. Okay, showing the temperament of regeneration, receives blessing from God. This is the rewards of your grace. Rejoice in the heart. And it doesn't bear shame. Okay, it doesn't contend to return to the dust. It doesn't contend to return to the dust. Okay, but that which bears thorns and briars, oh, there it is again. We see the same thing in Hebrews 10:20. Okay, but that which bears thorns, it manifests the face of Satan, and makes excuses for the behavior to justify their evil temperament, but that which bears thorns and briars is rejected. Okay? As we see, and again, new heavens and new earth. Okay? Because the first heaven and earth, first earth, okay, will be consumed by fire. Okay? The testimony of darkness will be removed. Everything, every memorial, every genealogy. The pure conscience represents innocence, okay, which has to do without offense. Okay, so that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, nigh unto cursing, because it smites the face of Jesus. What was put on Jesus' head? Okay, a crown of thorns. The crown of thorns, it represents that the curse that he put upon Adam will be reversed. Okay, Jesus didn't wear a crown of thorns after his resurrection. Okay, it was for the purpose of his humiliation. Being the form of the flesh, that was a crown of thorns. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected. Bears, that's the manifest the face of Satan, is rejected, nigh to cursing. Okay, that's not, it smites the face of Jesus, whose sin is to be burned. Okay, all their works will be lost. Okay, because they broke from the true vine. But beloved, Paul says here, the government of God, beloved, our stewardship, of course, by our stewardship, you're now weighing, you can weigh these things with confidence. You know the difference between a thorn, okay, and a fruit tree. Instead of a thorn shall come up the fruit tree. Okay, but beloved, we are persuaded to bear things of you and things that accompany salvation. This is what we prophesy. This is what we speak. We speak of those things which spring from the anointing. We don't speak of those things which spring of the soil. The testimony of the thorns and the briars is not our testimony. That will be burned. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work at this altar. Now, this is your priesthood after Melchizedek. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So you cite the word work there. You can say at the altar. Labor of love is, this is your charity. Your charity is your rest. Your charity is your peace. Your charity is your fruit. Okay, which we have showed towards his name. This is what we bring to the altar. We offer back to our Father, Christ, which you have showed toward his name, and that you minister to the saints and do minister. Okay, what are we ministering? We're ministering the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, the government, the truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. Okay, we are manifesting this character. We are walking in this new habit of life. We're born again. We're born again by what? By the dima, okay, of his light. The anointing of his light rests upon the brow of the righteous. Okay, this is the crown of our peace, which we prophesy. We prophesy Christ. Okay, let's now go back to Ephesians as you get your sacrifices ready here. This is what we're following after as dear children, those born again. We're walking in love as Christ also has loved us, reciprocating this knowledge. Reciprocate, rehearse. Okay, rehearse. This is what we do as concerning our rehearsing. Okay, this is our recall. This is our reciprocation. Okay, we see that Noah recalled these things. These be the things which we recall for those things which are yet to come, for the generation to come. Okay, we're recalling Christ. We're recalling this testimony. Okay, so let's go on here. Next verse. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, but those which are the thorns and briars for that which has to do with that which is unclean. Okay, and this is what he talks about, but fornication. This is uncleanness now. Okay, we talked about that last week, about let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, that's not our testimony. Our testimony isn't on a scale of competition. Our testimony is on a scale of Christ. Okay, with that which has perfect equity, speaks perfect equity, speaks peace. Okay, as much as dwells within you, be at peace one with another. So we're walking in love. This is a sweet smelling savor, which just has to do with a tool and a scale. Okay, but fornication, all uncleanness, as a leprous man there, we talked about that, the fake tokens. But fornication, so beware the contradiction, the common knowledge, which is fornication. Common knowledge is fornication. But fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, the appetite and the aspiration. Let not be once named among you as become a saints. Okay, so we see the contrast here. Here he talks about the word saints. In other words, we bear the token of the sanctification. You are as a saint to the Lord, which means we retain our innocence before him. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let not be once named among you. Let it be rumored that you are partaking of the wrong table. Let it not be once named among you. He's talking about as concerning that is not your diet. Yeah, that is not your diet. He's not talking about the infirmity of the flesh, he's not talking about that. He's talking about is concerning the diet of knowledge. If your diet of knowledge is the things of this world, okay, he says, let it not be once named among you. That means that's not how we're serving God. We're not serving God by the knowledge of man. Okay, we're serving God by the knowledge of God. Okay, and then he goes on, either filthiness. Okay, so we're not using the scale of this world of corruption. We're using the scale of God. So we're able to weigh that which is filthiness. Okay, and it's the same language you see in Revelation 22. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be just still. He is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Okay, which has to do identifying the protester will continually protest, and the consenter will always and continually consent. Okay, and we are consenting to that which is good. Okay, but the protester will consent to only that which is evil. So he says here, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. The fool's chatter. It's just worldliness. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, because it sows doubt, double-mindedness, okay, and finally sedition. It ruins that testimony, okay, which Christ is establishing within you. Okay, we don't want to ruin that testimony of Christ, okay, because our testimony is this charity. So neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, okay, but rather giving of thanks. Now he's given a contrast again. The giving of thanks, which has to do with by acknowledging the stewardship, we're setting the seal of our labor of charity, but rather giving of thanks. We're sealing your labor with charity, okay, the charity of your sacrifices. This is the true biblical pattern, okay, which we are following today, the pattern of faith. Okay, the pattern of faith has to do with that which is charity.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.